Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in a Tuesday edition of the program. Glad to be back with you live after the weekend and after no live show on Monday. And there is absolutely no shortage of things to talk about coming out of a big weekend. Indiana loses to Ohio State. Ohio State pretty much dominated the Hoosiers. And once again, Indiana gets off to what's become a patented slow start against the Buckeyes. And really never, they did trim it down considerably, but never really got the feeling, at least I didn't, that this team was in that ball game and had a legitimate chance to win. So that's okay. I don't think anyone thought that Indiana really would win on the road. The Buckeyes are near the top of the conference. They are surging. They've been recognized as maybe one of the better teams in college basketball at this time, to be quite honest. And so Indiana loses on the road. It's a tough game. But what does Indiana do this week? The Wednesday game coming up tomorrow against Minnesota, some big opportunities later in the week against Michigan State as well. Indiana, these are games that the Hoosiers need to win. This will help them in win totals in the Big Ten Conference, and really it will help their position in the Big Ten Conference because this is a big week if you look at games that are scheduled all week long through the weekend. This is going to be a really big week for do teams stay in their respective tiers. I always see the top tier of right now probably three teams with Iowa, Michigan, well, let me say four teams, with Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State, and Iowa, I believe. I don't think I said them. So those are the four, although Iowa slipping from there, did come back and get some big wins here recently to help their cause. But this is a big week positional-wise in the conference. Not that Indiana has a chance to win the conference or compete for anything like that, but just to maybe have an opportunity to finish in the middle of the pack or the top portion of the middle of the pack if they can get some wins this week at home. That helps that cause, but most importantly, we all know what this week is about with two home games and two big wins needed. It's about getting to a win total that helps the Hoosiers get off the bubble and get into the NCAA tournament, because right now, no matter what bracketology you look at or who you talk to, there's no question that this Indiana team is squarely on the bubble for this upcoming big dance in March. And so this week's a big one. We said it all along. Two games at home, anytime you play at home in the Big Ten. And you look at Minnesota, they're a good team. Obviously, Marcus Carr is a great player. They have the Mashburn kid, Jamal Jr., is playing well. He led the team in scoring in their last game. But this is a game Indiana can win. We think Indiana can play with anybody in the conference, and most teams, it seems, in the conference can. But at home, you got to win this one. And we know Michigan State's troubles. This is just not the Michigan State program that we're used to seeing. It's been an odd year. Maybe they don't have the talent that they normally do, but Michigan State does not look like they're on path to make the NCAA tournament. So this is a big week for Indiana. I think we all get that. We all understand that. Indiana goes 2-0 this week. They take a big, big step forward in getting in the tournament. Not for sure. That doesn't lock them in or anything of that sort, in my opinion. But they get a lot closer to being able to get in to the Big Ten tournament. Well, to the NCAA tournament. Let me say it correctly when we get to that point later on in the season. Also, before we get into the show today, congratulations to Scott Shane and the Silver Creek girls basketball team. They had a fantastic day on Saturday. We enjoyed being there. The semifinal game we had on WNAS, the championship game back here on the Big X Saturday night. And Silver Creek battled two quality opponents, Evansville Memorial in that semifinal game, a really, really good girls basketball team. And Silver Creek, it was a close and it was a battle, but Silver Creek got it going, was able to win in the night game. They were able to hold off another good team that seemed to be shooting it really well on Saturday, Rushville. And so Silver Creek is one game away now from a berth in the 3A state championship game. They actually got assigned late Saturday night to the Jeffersonville Semi-State. So Silver Creek has been very fortunate as far as their travels go. As it stands now, their farthest trip has been going over to Madison a few times for sectional play. Right up the road at Charlestown was the regional, and now right down the road is the Semi-State in Jeffersonville. Tri-West seems like a good team. I don't know much about them, but they seem like a team that's playing well at this time of year, and I think we all understand when you get to the regional and the Semi-State especially, and of course the state championship game, everybody there can play. Everybody there has been shooting it well, playing well, has good players, or they wouldn't be there. So that's the case for Silver Creek. They get a good opponent on Saturday, but I don't see any reason why this Silver Creek girls team can't be playing for a state championship a week from Saturday, which would be exciting for Sellersburg and really exciting for Southern Indiana. And we've got a lot more coming up on Silver Creek this week. We'll tell you our broadcast plans here shortly. We'll also tell you when the Semi-State preview show will be, but look for that on Thursday night. And those are always fun to talk with Coach Shane and some of the players. We'll also attempt to talk with someone from Tri-West as well to share more information on what type of challenge they pose for Silver Creek. But again, hats off to them. They are moving on to a one-game Semi-State at Jeffersonville, and very, very close to a state championship appearance is the Silver Creek girls. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a few moments. We'll have some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We have lots of IU things to go over, a couple Big Ten things to talk about, some college basketball, I don't want to say weird things, but players opting out and a coach has already been fired from the ACC. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few moments in our headlines as well. And we'll get into some high school games tonight. We are scheduled to be at Jeffersonville tonight for the DeSales at Jeffersonville game. And I'll talk about that contest a little bit more later today. But that should be a really good game and, more importantly, a big challenge for Jeffersonville. DeSales out of the 6th region is really good this season, and I'll tell you more about that game. We hope it's still on tonight. Haven't heard officially, but we hope that that game is played at Johnson Arena tonight. If it is, we will broadcast that contest for you coming up later this evening. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins. Greg might be with us a little late today for a shorter segment. He's got a big meeting at work, but we'll connect with him, his thoughts on IU basketball heading into this important week, and also a few other topics when he's with us today as well. And Pigs, Mike Pegram, is out today, but Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com joins in his place to talk IU basketball and get us ready for this week and talk about Minnesota specifically coming up on Wednesday. So those are some of the things that we'll do here in this hour today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And lots of things from Archie Miller last night in the Monday night coaches show. It's worth a listen. It's an hour program. Don Fisher hosted. You really get a lot of insight, and I'm sure that's the case for any school, any coach that has a radio show each week. But Archie doesn't give a lot up. He doesn't talk a lot. He doesn't share a lot. His post-game press conferences can be bland at times, even after a win. But for that hour with Don Fisher, who does a great job asking him questions and setting him up for a positive-type environment, you really learn a lot about where things are at with this Indiana program, things that we talk about every day, things that we wonder about every day on this program. And so just to cover a number of things he said last night, he talked about the Big Ten, that any win in the conference is worth what he called a, quote, celebration. And maybe that gives us a little more insight into why he was so excited after the Northwestern victory last week. Obviously, you know, it's Northwestern. It's on the road. Indiana played poorly. Indiana was lucky to get into overtime and then obviously win it in a double overtime situation. But he was positive with the players. He was kind of grabbing Rob Phinisee, if you remember, on the shoulders or on the back. He had a big smile. He was pumping his fist a little bit. And I think he clearly understands what we all need to, or what we all do, that the Big Ten is tough. And any win, home or away this year, is probably worth celebrating when you look back on this conference and how good it is. I guess the real opportunity to look back and appreciate the Big Ten this year will be if we get into March Madness and there are a number of Big Ten teams that make it to the Sweet 16 and a handful that make it into the Elite Eight. Maybe one or two, depending on how the bracket, how the seeds work out, that make it to the Final Four. Do we have a Big Ten champion this year? I think it's very possible that we do, but those maybe will make all of us appreciate what I'm sure Archie Miller and other Big Ten coaches already do, how tough this Big Ten conference is as well. He also addressed that their Indiana struggles with these slow starts, and he said we're not able to capitalize on our opportunities around the basket, and didn't know if it was a nerve thing or a filling the game out thing, but interesting to hear him talk about that, because to me, when I think about this IU team as we head into the final six games of the year this week, the number one thing, it's not turnovers, it's not free throw shooting, it's not the lack of senior guard play or Rob Phinisee playing as you would hope he would at this point in his career. Those are all issues at times, but the number one thing is the slow starts. Absolutely, the slow starts with this team, and he addressed that last night very directly on his weekly radio program. A few other things, he talked about Jerome Hunter, said he played with a, quote, chip on his shoulder, and that he liked his attitude. He thought it was good. He said, this is a big week for him. We're going to need him, talking about Jerome Hunter. Other things as well, Parker Stewart came up in the conversation last night. A lot of you inquire about him or write in about him from time to time. You know, six games left. He's got 2 years of eligibility remaining in college hoops, no matter what he does in these six games. Does Indiana try to force him back, bring him back, add him in time for the tournament, for the Big Ten tournament, maybe for the NCAA tournament if they make it? I don't know. I'm kind of leaning. This is just a gut feeling. I'm kind of leaning toward no. We'll ask Jeff Rabjohns his thoughts about this a little bit later in the season. But some interesting words from Archie Miller last night. He said, quote, it's been a little tough to hit the ground running as he's gotten back week by week. He started to get in the routine of lifting weights, skill instruction. He's helping us out in practice. Just watching him in practice, he's going to be a great addition to what we're doing. The big thing is to continue to feel comfortable and learn what's going on here. And again, that was Archie Miller on graduate transfer Parker Stewart. So it doesn't sound like he's practicing, at least to me, in lieu of coming into a game or being on the bench or getting ready for the last few games of the season. It sounds like he's helping the team with competitive practices, but at the same time still getting himself maybe mentally and physically ready again for college basketball, and most importantly, learning IU system, plays and expectations and defensive rotations and all the things that go along with a college basketball program. So I didn't take from that that he's going to be there this season. We could be wrong on that. It doesn't affect, as I mentioned, his 2 years of eligibility that he has remaining, regardless of if he sees the court this season or not. But that's going to be something to watch. I mean, do we get a late season surprise here? You know, you don't want to say this, but if there's an injury or something unexpected, could that maybe force his entry into the lineup on the court a little bit? Who knows? But he sounds like an intriguing prospect, definitely, for next season with this IU basketball program. Also, speaking of Minnesota, Jamal Mashburn Jr., of course, his dad played for Rick Pitino at UK many years ago. The son now plays for Richard Pitino at Minnesota. And it's not just Marcus Carr on this Minnesota team that Indiana's going to play on Wednesday. Jamal Mashburn, 14 points. He led the team in scoring as Minnesota did lose on Sunday at Maryland. First freshman to lead Minnesota in scoring a game since back in 2019. Gabe, I forget how you say his last name, Kalshorer maybe? He had that big 24-point performance, if you remember, against Louisville in an NCAA tournament first-round game. So Mashburn, he's holding his own as a freshman and becoming more and more a key player, in addition to what Marcus Carr obviously does for his team as well. A couple recruiting notes as we move on in our headlines today. Lawrence North was a winner over Fort Wayne Snyder over the weekend. C.J. Gunn, who is committed to IU, the first in that 2022 class, he had 33 points and made 9 3-pointers in the game for Lawrence North. So just kind of watching him as Lawrence North, maybe an opportunity to be a semi-state level team or beyond in the state tournament this year. And also a Michigan State note as well, 2022 five-star Enoch Boakye, I believe that's how you pronounce the name. He's decommitted from Michigan State and will reopen his recruitment. That was announced yesterday. So interesting there. He's considering Duke and Kentucky and Arizona, Baylor, Texas Tech, USC, Texas, Gonzaga, UNLV, Arizona State. Says his recruitment is fully open, but those were schools he was considering before the commitment to Michigan State. So again, Michigan State having a down year, likely not going to make the NCAA tournament, and all of a sudden they see a decommitment from their 2022 recruiting class as well. One other quick thing, Duke freshman forward, he's also a projected lottery pick, Jalen Johnson. He's opted out of the remainder of the 2021 season, according to Zag's blog, which is interesting to see. And speaking of odd things in college basketball this year, I guess this happens normally not at the high major level, but it has. Boston College has already fired their coach, Jim Christian. He was there 7 seasons. The Eagles started off 3-13 to the year. They've lost 4 consecutive games and are just 1-9 overall in ACC play. They were defeated most recently by Syracuse on the road, and he was let go, and it was announced on Monday that he would not be finishing the season for Boston College and that they would very soon start a search for a new head coach for next year. So as we enter the back half, or not the back half, the back few weeks of the regular season, coaching changes in college basketball will begin to happen at all levels across the board, and that's always something interesting to watch in the offseason as well. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle in segment number 2. Greg, a sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU basketball and more when he joins us. Stay with us for that. This is a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us as we talk a little IU basketball and some other sports things today. And Greg, Indiana goes to Ohio State. Another, I call it, patented slow start by this Hoosier basketball team. They did make it a little closer, a little more competitive as the game went on, but still Ohio State wins handily, 78-59. And now Indiana is looking ahead at 2 home games this week at Assembly Hall, Wednesday night, Minnesota, Michigan State coming up over the weekend. And those are 2 games that Indiana, if they want to be on the NCAA bubble, if they want to have a chance, a pathway to the tournament this year, they've got to find a way to win.
Yeah, I use the point now where they probably have enough of a resume to get in as long as they don't blow it. And blow it's a harsh term. I mean, Minnesota's good. I mean, Minnesota might not be a tournament team. They might be, but they're good. So it's harsh to say, but the bar is that's blowing it, but that is blowing it. They've got to beat every bubble team left on their schedule and every team out of the tournament on their schedule because they have too many losses right now that you just can't afford to keep adding bad ones. So they need to win the game. They got to win and maybe even add one more, Iowa-type win. And in the Big Ten, you've got about 5 different chances for an Iowa-type win depending on who you draw in the Big Ten tournament. So they're not in yet. But I think they're in as long as they can hold serve. But holding serve, it's like, you go to Wimbledon, you're holding serve against world-class players. It's not that easy. So they got to hold serve.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, you if anyone listened, I had a lot of feedback from your, and a lot of people agreed with your thoughts on IU basketball when we spoke a week ago. And I'm curious, you're writing even after the Ohio State game, you're becoming a little perturbed, a little irritated with this Indiana team as you watch them play, how they always seem to get down early.
Yeah, I had some fun with that story and how I kind of wrote that, hey, people, bear with me, I'm losing it here. And I'm not losing it. I write with, what's the word for that? When you exaggerate for impact, for effect, it's not onomatopoeia, but I do that, and hopefully people get that. Like, it's not the same thing as lying. You know, I'm not lying. I'm just kind of having some fun with how frustrating this team is to watch. But they are frustrating to watch, and what I'm trying to do there is channel what it must be like to be an IU fan. And granted, you couldn't possibly, and I wouldn't try to speak for an entire fan base, because there will be people that disagree. You know, you can have 95% saying, yeah, 5% are like, you don't speak for me, shut up. So I'm aware of that. So, but this IU team, I mean, look, as a basketball fan, as someone who wrote that Archie Miller was a tape deck home run in the upper deck when they hired him, as someone who really thought Archie was going to get it done, it's hard to watch the same problems happen every year. And I know how smart Archie is. And I know how, I mean, it's the kind of deal where if you and me and people watching on TV, if we can see what's wrong with this team, you know, why can't he fix it? Why can't they shoot? You know, why can't they shoot? And I don't know why they can't shoot. And I don't know why he hasn't recruited shooters. I don't understand what's going on. But it's frustrating to watch the same thing over and over and over. It's Einstein's insanity, and I'm tired of watching it. And I also write in the way that I write because I know there are some people that are going to get mad. Like, how dare you? How dare you criticize? I got people telling me, well, if you're so smart, why don't you coach the team? To which I say, is that the bar? Do you want a coach who's a better basketball guy than a sports writer? Then you've got one. If that's the bar, congratulations. That's what you have. You have someone who's better than me coaching. But you're IU, and your bar should be a little bit higher than me.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joining us as we start the segment with IU basketball, as we do most weeks this time of year. Greg, the two home games this week, I think it goes without saying, they're not top-tier Big Ten teams. Again, any opponent in the Big Ten is reasonable and in their own regard tough. It's a really good conference. We know that. We've discussed that. But these two opponents at home this year, it's just something you've got to get done.
Yeah, you don't have a misstep. You don't have room. You backed yourself. It's what happens when you paint yourself into a corner. There's no way out. There's only one way out. And since IU doesn't have any turpentine, their way out is to win these games.
Talking to Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, I want to transition to IU football for a moment. They had a big hire, Dylan McCauley, coming to the program from Kansas City, from the Chiefs, from the NFL, and Indiana with a big financial commitment as well. We've talked a lot on this program about his hiring and how it's a big deal for the program and a great get for Coach Allen after losing some key coaches this year to other jobs. But one thing in the background I did notice, I think it was Zach Osterman's report, that this position has been funded a little differently and a little better than the previous occupant, which in a pandemic time when we talk a lot about athletic departments and college sports across the country struggling financially, interesting to see quite a boost there in that position, in that job.
Yeah, it shows IU's commitment, you know, to football, and it shows that they're committed also to Tom Allen. You know, I am sure that Allen made it very, very clear that he wanted this guy. And, you know, he's got a contract. He's not going to ask him to rewrite his contract every year, and he's not going to, you know, do things like that. But if you guys are serious about keeping me around, Tom Allen must be saying, this is the guy I want, and this is how much it's going to cost, and you guys got to figure out a way to get that done for me because I want this coach from the Chiefs. It's remarkable that a guy would leave the NFL for almost a lateral in title, feels almost lateral, to come to IU. Granted, it's his school, and maybe he's got dreams of being a head coach, and maybe he's thinking, you know, Tom Allen's got 5-6 years here, and he'll step down, and this guy replaces him. You know, I don't know. I was struck by a couple things, but that was the biggest one, is you just don't see that. You don't see guys leaving the NFL to be a position coach in college. It doesn't happen.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, IU football, you wonder what this next season will look like. Can they match the intensity, the successes they had within the Big Ten Conference this year? And recruiting is going to be a big piece of that. Obviously, continuing to get coaches at the level of Coach McCullough, I think, has a great deal to do with that as well. We've already talked about what maybe to expect if you're an IU fan for this upcoming year and what success means for this program moving forward. But I do wonder, as the school makes more commitments to the football program, like the salary of Coach McCullough, and you see the Indiana basketball team continuing to have the same struggles, the slow starts game after game, and really now season after season, you wonder where IU stands as a basketball school. You wonder where IU is going as a football school, and you wonder the commitments to both sports from the athletic department.
Yeah, and that's a hot button issue. I know there's a lot of IU fans are complaining about it. I'm hearing them. They're saying IU doesn't have the same commitment to basketball as it has to football, which is, whether that's true or not, it's amazing that people are actually saying that those words out loud and meaning them. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I mean, it's remarkable what IU, the administration, and Fred Glass gets a lot of credit for that. And yeah, Kevin Wilson, the foundation, and Hebner before that. But what Tom Allen has kind of stood on the shoulders of some greatness, and stood on the shoulders of whatever he stood on the shoulders of, and has built something really special. But it does kind of highlight, you know, IU basketball is kind of middle of the road as far as salaries, as far as Assembly Hall, and, you know, it's historic and all that, but no 17-year-old kid anywhere, maybe if you grew up in Indiana, maybe if you grew up the son of Steve Alford, but short of that, no 17-year-old's walking into Assembly Hall and going, I got to play here. You know, they're, I'm not saying they want to avoid it. I'm just saying Assembly Hall doesn't mean anything to them, and the way it looks right now, it looks fine, but it's not special compared to, there's no bells and whistles, really, even though they had a nice upgrade recently. I'm just saying that the only thing about IU that says basketball school, the only thing, are the banners hanging on the ceiling. And I don't want to minimize that. That's pretty important. But the rest of it, recruits don't come in and say, I'm going to play here because Bob Knight won a national championship in 76. That doesn't mean anything to a kid who wasn't born. When did Kevin Clark was born? 94? No, 2004. Look how young these kids are. They don't care. So basketball school only goes so far in recruiting, and recruiting is the lifeblood of the program.
No question. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, always with us on Tuesdays. Greg, I want to jump back to a couple basketball things to close. I saw a tweet yesterday from Seymour High School, which is the host of the sectional, the regional, and the semi-state here in high school basketball. It's one of the big gyms in southern Indiana, and it's maybe number one in the state after there was some argument on how many seats it really exists these days at Newcastle. But ESPN was in their facility recently filming a segment which is going to be aired during March Madness. And it just was a reminder to me that basketball at all levels in our state, whether it's the gymnasiums, the excitement that surrounds high school basketball, obviously we know that the history with Indiana, Purdue, the college stuff, but basketball in our state is truly going to be showcased during this upcoming NCAA tournament that is going to be played entirely in our state.
Yeah, it starts with the Big Ten tournament. Of course, that's just going to be regional. But the Big Ten tournament has been moved to Indy. And then, of course, the whole thing is going to be here in Indy. And, you know, I know people in Indianapolis, you know, the business community, they're right now racking their brain trying to find out different ways of showcasing our state, showcasing not just the basketball aspect of our state, because that's just going to be so obvious. It's going to be so obvious, but this is really a vehicle to show off our entire state, north to south, you know, because the Division II and III, you know, Evansville's got a tournament coming down there. I mean, it's going to be all over the place. And Indiana leaders, city and state, again, north to south, southern Indiana, they want to remind people, demonstrate, illustrate people that we're not just a basketball state, and I mean that in the best possible ways, that we're not just the Moody Hoosiers. You know, we got a lot more going on than that. If it takes basketball to finally open everybody's eyes to what we got here, okay, then let's ride that wave. So this is a – critical is the wrong word because we don't need this month. We didn't need March Madness or our state was going to fall off the face of the earth. It wasn't like that. We're not desperate. But this is such an enormous opportunity. It's just so enormous. And I know everybody around the state, they're trying their best to leverage this in the best possible way. And you know, during the pandemic and all that stuff with everybody hurting financially, very few states, cities, whatever, get this sort of break, get this sort of chance. It's just not happening. And I, there's a big part of me that feels bad for all the cities that are losing their regionals. I mean, I feel terrible for all of them. But we didn't do it to them. It happened to them, and, you know, their losses are a very fortunate gain. I hope it pays off big time for the future. And I'm talking about like 20 years from now. You know, when the Olympics come to a city, whether it's Rio or wherever the Olympics go, they generally leave it better than they found it, because the stuff was built, made. This isn't like the Olympics. We're not going to be building facilities for all these, you know, dormitories for these teams coming in. But hopefully, in some way, shape, or form, this month leaves our state tangibly better than it was the way we all found it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, final quick thing. You mentioned this last week, and I was like, what's Greg talking about? Billboards in Indianapolis that say something about Kokomo basketball, and I was like, I haven't heard of this. So I haven't seen any in southern Indiana for sure. But you wrote a story, a column on this very topic yesterday, and I know readers can check it out, subscribers can check it out, but maybe a preview, an overview of what in the world are these Kokomo state champs billboards meaning in Indianapolis?
They popped up in December, and there was 100 of them, and they've been moving every 4 weeks. So you can't not see them around here. They're everywhere, and if they're not where you are, they're going to be there in 4 weeks. So they're everywhere. They're big, bright orange with big black letters. Kokomo, 1961, state champs. And people around here are, you know, after a few weeks, you can see the momentum going, and it's everywhere. It's Facebook and Twitter, and people emailing me. And it's not just me. I mean, people are talking about it. If you Google the words Kokomo billboards, you'll find message boards, you'll find Reddit threads, and people want to know, what the hell is this? And so I decided to find out, what the heck is this? And it's not what I thought it'd be. It's less than I thought it'd be, but it's kind of more than I thought it'd be. And it also gave me a chance to go back and look at Kokomo 1961 and tell that story. So it was a fun story to do because I got to write about billboards and what the hell's going on. But also, oh, by the way, 1961 Kokomo had a special team with one rather unique and not in the best of ways player. So it's a story. You get one shot at it. And so I'll never get a shot at that story again. That was fun to do.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us on Tuesdays. Greg, thank you.
Matt, thank you. I hope you guys, the snow's not crushing you guys like it is here. I left my, the hardest thing for me was to leave my street parking. It's hard to get out of the street, and then I come back to my apartment, and it's hard to park because it's 4 feet of snow. Anyway, so I hope you guys are doing better than we're doing up here because it's brutal, but we'll stay warm.
Didn't you say you think it's, you told me off air, maybe a foot of snow in Indianapolis, some areas?
I mean, it's got to be. It's kind of like when someone's throwing the ball 99 miles an hour. Is it 97? Is it 100? Does it really matter at that point? It's so fast, you can't see it anyway. The snow is so tall. It could be a foot. It could be 2.5 feet. If you told me it's 8 inches, I'd say get the heck out of here with that. It looks like a foot and a half. I don't know. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It's not
absolutely
fun. I'm sure a 9-year-old thinks it's fun, but you walk outside, you look at it, and you go, that's. I like dark chocolate, but don't open my mouth and force it down my gullet for 20 minutes. That probably wouldn't be very much fun. That's what we're going through right now.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, thanks. Stay warm.
I'll try, Matt. You too. Bye.
We'll head to a commercial break and come back with our final segment. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com will join as we'll start to look at IU and Minnesota for Wednesday night at Assembly Hall in more detail. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Just got word over the commercial break that tonight's DeSales at Jeffersonville game will not be played due to road conditions, and so that game is postponed, and we'll see if they find a date to make that one up. But no game tonight at Johnson Arena for the Red Devils means no broadcast tonight for us here on the Big X. Final segment today, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is with me here on this Tuesday program to talk about IU's week and specifically to take a look at this Minnesota game coming up tomorrow evening. Jeff, we know it's important. It's been the storyline as we head into this week. Winnable games for Indiana against that level of opponent, not really the top tier of the conference, but also home games, which are very important, even without fans in the stands. But Minnesota, we know, with Carr and Mashburn Jr. And others, will be a challenge for this team.
Yeah, I think it's a really big week for IU because, like you said, they're home games, and they're definitely two winnable games as you look at, you know, how IU is playing and how Minnesota and Michigan State are playing. And you look at the rest of the schedule, you know, home and road, how other teams are playing. They're really important games. I mean, I think IU really needs to get these next two games. And if they do, you know, they put themselves in a good position to be sitting there. If they get them, they're sitting there at 13-9, not the best record in the history of the world, but it puts them in a good position for the NCAA tournament. And especially, you know, you look at the net rankings, NET, which, you know, is a part of the selection Sunday. You know, sitting there at 51st, they're sitting there with the number 5 schedule in the country. But you got to get some wins. And these are two winnable games. And I think it's a big week for Indiana basketball. I think you really, really need to get these two wins. Sure, you can pull upsets later in the week or later in the season, but these are two that you sit there and look at and go, yeah, they can get these, and they need to get them. They're at home. They're winnable games. They need to get them.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, talking IU basketball. I'm curious, Jeff, it's been a while since we've chatted. As far as the number of wins in conference play, where do you see Indiana needing? What do they need to be almost, I don't want to say a lock, but maybe to get off the bubble and have a spot in this upcoming NCAA tournament?
I think with the fact that this is an irregular season, or as Mitch Barnhart, the NCAA selection committee chair, said in late summer, early fall, whenever it was, August, September, somewhere around there, he called it an irregular regular season. And I thought that was a good phrase. I think if Indiana gets to 9, I think they're probably in. I really do. Because you're going to have some other teams that don't have as many games played. But I think if they get to 9, I think they're probably okay. Again, with where they sit in the net and where they sit in strength of schedule, if the NCAA selection committee does what they said they're going to do, and again, we've all seen them say things and then do different things, but if they do what they said they're going to do and they take into account strength of schedule, I think 9 wins in the Big Ten gets Indiana in. Now, I think 10 gets them, you know, kind of like maybe off the bubble, or if they get 9 in the regular season and do something in the Big Ten tournament, then, you know, you move off the bubble. But I actually think 9 gets them in.
Jeff, this will be Indiana's first meeting with Minnesota of the season, and this is a Minnesota team that I know had hopes this year themselves to be an NCAA tournament team, and, of course, with Marcus Carr leading the way, had hopes to make some noise in the Big Ten Conference as well. As we look at this game on Wednesday night, kind of give us an overview of the matchup. It's not just Marcus Carr for this Minnesota team.
No, it's not, but you have to start with Marcus Carr. I mean, he's averaging nearly 20 shots per game. He's incredibly skilled offensively. I think the thing you have to start with, in my opinion, on Minnesota is you have to deal with him defensively. You have to keep him going off. The second thing is they're really good in transition. When they get rebounds, they run. And they run even if it's not a great run, which means even if they're, you know, somewhat challenged on the break, they're still going to take the break. They're not going to slow down. So I think the second thing is you have to deal with their break. The third thing is you have to keep Leon Robbins, the 7-foot transfer that they got in. You got to keep him from getting offensive rebounds. Those to me, Those are the three biggest things you have to do to beat Minnesota.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, IU basketball with a very big week in front of him. Last night we heard Archie Miller, Jeff, cover a lot of different subjects on his weekly coaches show, which we air here on the Big X. I know you have a report you put up each week of some of the key things that are discussed and what Coach Miller says. He mentioned Parker Stewart yesterday, and with just six games left in the regular season schedule for Indiana, it sounds like that he's getting accustomed to a daily basketball life again, practices, weights, just getting acclimated with things after the death of his father and a transfer to a new university. Do you think there's any chance that we see him suit up this year, or is it getting late and he's primarily just going to be practicing, getting ready for next season, and trying to help this team in practice this year with some competitive matchups and competitive practices?
I think right now it's unlikely that he plays this year. And again, a big thing is, you know, his father tragically passed in November. There's a lot emotionally, psychologically involved with that. So it's not just about basketball, is he in shape, and those kind of things. Does he know the offense, defense? You know, there's a lot involved with that. And I think there's a human aspect to all that. Now, could he go into a game for 2-3 minutes and make a shot or two? Yeah, I think he could. So I'm not going to say he's not going to play, but I think it's unlikely. Now, am I going to fall out of my chair if he does get a minute or two here or there? No. He's 6'4". He's about 210, 215. He's a bigger, stronger, physical kid. I mean, he's got a master's degree. He's got bachelor's and master's. He's an accomplished person. He's the son of a coach. To a degree, his normal is play basketball. So is there some chance? Yeah, there's some chance, but I think it's unlikely right now, Matt.
Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We're talking with him today in place of Mike Pegram, who is normally with us, also of Pigs.com, here on this Tuesday program. One other thing that IU fans consistently talk about, and Archie Miller even addressed it Monday night, was the slow starts that this team has put forth so much of this season, which very often digs a hole from them. Now, at times they've been able to rally back from some of these early deficits and slow starts, but often you wonder what the final score would look like and what the win total would look like had this team not put themselves in some really negative positions right out of the starting gate. If I'm going to summarize this team and pick the number one negative, and I know fans and anyone that follows this team could pick a list of things this team doesn't do so well and doesn't do very consistently, I think at the very top of that list I would have to put the slow starts. It's a frustrating thing for fans. I can only imagine what it's like for Coach Miller and the staff. But, Jeff, this has really become an identity of this team.
I don't think there's any question that there are two things you look at for Indiana. Like you said, there's numerous things. But the slow starts jump out the most. I mean, when you fall behind 17-4, 21-7, it jumps out at you. And it jumps out to the coaching staff. It jumps out to the players. And it's a big thing as far as gameplay. And just, you coach, you've been around basketball, you understand this. You know, it's different to play from a little bit behind or a little bit ahead, and it's another thing to have to climb out of a hole. And the biggest issue that IU has with gameplay right now is climbing out of a hole. Here's something that's interesting. I was working on some stuff for some NBA teams. And so I was talking to some assistant coaches who played against, did scouting reports against IU. And one of the things that they told me was this. They look at recent games and they go, okay, who scares us the most? Trey Jackson Davis. Okay. How teams played him. We're going to try to do something that he hasn't seen in the last few games to disrupt him, to make things difficult for him. And that's one of the things that's really interesting right now. Teams are actually like trying to disrupt him from the start. And a couple of assistant coaches told me they were like, if we keep him from scoring in the first 4 minutes, we think we can beat IU. IU's defense is good. Other things worry us. And I'm paraphrasing what assistant coaches told me when I say, you know, us and we. But they're actually trying to disrupt Trace as much as possible in the first 4 minutes. And that can make it hard. It's one thing to be, you know, a good player. It's another thing to be the first player on the first page of the scouting report and to have other teams go, our primary objective in the first 4 minutes is to disrupt this guy. And I think that's one thing that's bothering IU right now. And it's hard to counteract it because, you know, I mean, other teams have good coaches too. They have good scouts. They have good assistants. But that's a really big thing for Indiana. And I know fans sometimes look at Trace and go, okay, he needs to do more early. That's true. Very fair. The other thing is when your star, and I think you guys, like you said, you air the coaches show. Archie even said that sometimes Trace is getting 20 and 10. I think Archie said something like we're asking him to be Hercules and get 35 and 15. It's true. But the problem is the other guys aren't getting enough. Yeah, and I think that's where there's kind of a mix. It's like if the other guys are scoring in the first 4 to 8 minutes, okay, it's not all on Trace. But right now the other guys aren't scoring, so you are putting an enormous burden on your best player. But yeah, you're right, Matt. The first 4 to 8 minutes, or even at Northwestern, goodness, the first 22 minutes. I mean, they were bad for, 28 minutes at Northwestern, something like that? Mm-hmm. But the first 4 to 8 minutes, I think, are really the biggest issue as far as gameplay for Indiana right now.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Jeff, we've got about a minute left. I want to hit you on a recruiting note real quick. C.J. Gunn had 9 3-pointers. And 33 points in a win for Lawrence North over the weekend. We haven't caught up with you since his commitment. I'm curious your thoughts on him as a player and how he can fit into this IU program down the line.
6'5", athletic, good short space quickness, good quickness overall, very good speed. Best skill is his shooting. Bouncy player, can play above the rim on both ends, can go get a rebound off the rack. And get it and go. Doesn't get a ton of offensive rebounds, but can go get them. But his biggest thing is his shooting. He shoots real jump shots, college jump shots, not high school shots where feet are on the floor as he goes up. It's actually in the air, snap the wrist, you know, bend the elbow. I think he is, you know, in a normal year, I'd put him top 80, 90 player in the country, which is a really good recruit. But making shots is his best skill.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Great to catch up, Jeff. Stay warm, and we'll look forward to your coverage of IU this week.
Talk to you, my friend.
All right. Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. That's going to wrap things up here on this Tuesday edition of the program. I'll be back with you Wednesday at 11 here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.